That's James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Please be seated.
As we get started tonight, before we introduce the young men who are speaking, I want to remind you of why we do our preacher training camp. Our mission statement or vision statement is posted all over this building. You can't hardly come into the building without seeing this statement that says we're committed to being a spiritual resource to our community by sharing the gospel, training, equipping, and maturing disciples of Christ who are confident in their salvation and prepared for excellence in ministry. I want you to think about that statement. I want to share with you several ways that we're doing some of those things. As far as being a resource, one of the things that we're doing here at North MacArthur is a recovery program. And what we're saying is we believe as members of the Lord's Church, we have the resources, we have the ability to help people that are struggling with addictions. We have the compassion, we have the grace, we have the interest to help them battle and finally be free from some of the things that have enslaved them for a long time. Another program that is a little bit newer than that is the Grief Share program. There are people all over our community who have gone through painful and difficult losses. They're on a journey through grief. Members of this congregation have been on that and are on that journey. And they believe that they can be a resource, a spiritual resource to the community, and help people who are grieving, who are suffering, help them get through that journey. And another thing that we do here that is a resource to the community is our annual Affirming the Faith program. Now, when I say to our community, I really mean to the Brotherhood. People all over the state, from neighboring states, come. That's a weekend of singing, of worship, of Bible study, a fellowship. It's a great resource to the church. It does a lot to encourage and strengthen the church. We're a resource. I was thinking about our vacation Bible school, not just what we do here, but last Sunday night, the report that we had. All the people that made that trip to the Cayman Islands, it's a resource. You're taking all of the teaching materials, all of those that taught, your gifts and natural abilities, to share that someplace else, to bless those in the mission field, the people that we support, to help impact the community where they are. Now, as we move past that idea of being a resource, our mission statement talks about not just sharing the gospel, but training, equipping, and maturing. And I don't know of anything that we're doing as a congregation that fulfills that part of our vision or of our mission as much as the preacher's training camp. Now, let me just start with why we're doing that. Why is that even a part of our vision? It's a biblical mission, and it's a biblical mandate that we have to do what we're doing here at North MacArthur. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16 says, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. One of the things that we want to do so that the body will grow, so that not just the local congregation, but God's church will grow and thrive and be healthy, is we want to train young men. The preacher training camp, we make it clear, not everybody comes to the camp is going to be a preacher. But we want to train them to be better Christians, to be leaders, so that they can be better husbands and fathers. Maybe they won't be preachers, but maybe they'll be deacons, elders, Bible class teachers. Some of them, I think, will have a vision to be youth ministers or campus ministers. That was part of our theme this week of camp. Each speaker had a different approach. You can be an elder. You can be a campus minister. You can be a youth minister. You can be an outreach minister. There's a lot of different ways that you can serve. And all of these boys are being encouraged, trained, and equipped so that they'll mature and be a blessing. Now, I'll just tell you, while I do believe that that is a work of the church, I believe that work begins at home. It's a ministry of the home. Parents are to raise their children in the love and the instruction of the Lord. And it's such a privilege to introduce the two speakers tonight, because while we're in partnership with families to train and equip and mature, I'm proud of the families that have raised the boys who are going to speak tonight. Steve and Stephanie were part of our staff here. In fact, it was Steve's vision when he came to North MacArthur to help us launch the preacher training camp. And his son Mason will be one of the two speakers tonight. I still remember when we all were here together, and he was so little. You're going to be surprised if you haven't seen Mason in a while. But when he was still pretty small, one night I was preaching and he was in the pew. He's probably not thrilled that I'm going to say this, but he was crying. And his dad said, "Mason, what is wrong?" He said, "Tim is so loud." So be as loud as you want tonight. You can get me back. But we're proud of him, and we're proud of the young man that he has become, the leader that he is becoming. And so he's going to be one of our two speakers. Connor came out this morning. He is ready to preach. Can I tell you, that boy is ready to preach. He said to me, "You make it look so easy." My favorite, one of my favorite parts of preacher training camp is when they stand up behind this podium every night, and we call it spoken English. We ask them questions, and they just get comfortable standing in front of the group and talking. We just want them to get comfortable. But one of the questions we ask every year is, say your name, how old you are, where you're from, and why you're here. And I don't remember exactly how Connor said it, but when he introduced himself and he explained why he was here for the camp, he basically said, "I love my church, and I want to grow so I can be a better servant for my church family." And I think we're really blessed tonight to have Mason and Connor speak to us. Connor, you're up first.
Okay. So basically, my sermon is coming from James chapter 3, 1 through 7. But before I get there, I would just like to say thank you to Tim. The tongue is a hurtful but powerful tool that is part of the body. Now, if you would please turn to James chapter 3, 1 through 7. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, you put bits in horses' mouths, that may obey us and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a word of inequality. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Which brings me to my first point. The fierce winds can drive a ship. It's how our tongues can drive us. The tongue is like a fire and beyond our control. Only God can help us control our tongues. Let your tongue be a fish, not a shark. A shark hurts people's feelings because it's not kind. Like a fish. Satan tries to get us into trouble by using our tongues. Now, raise your hands if you've ever been caught doing something that you shouldn't have done. That's a lot. I should know because I was private and I was much younger. Satan tries to have us behave like a shark. Don't be discouraging to people. Don't be mean to people. Don't use unkind words. God wants us to be a fish. How can we be a fish? There are three ways that we can be, that we can control our tongues and be more like a fish. Number one, be encouraging of our speech to people. Number two, be nice, be kind to others, use kind words. Number three, put others without selfishness, even with our speech. My conclusion is you can ask God for help, but it is your choice to be a shark or a fish. Now, at Preacher's Training Camp, we had to do something called a challenge. So here's my challenge. My challenge for you is to work on controlling our tongues and dealing with other people. Before I go, let's look at James chapter 3, 9 through 12. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Okay, imagine this with me for a minute. Let's say you go to the car dealership and you want to buy a used car. So you look around for a little while and find one you like. So you get the car salesman out there and you ask, can I test drive this car and look inside it? He says, no, just take my word for it. It's a great car. You don't need to look at it. Let's just do the paperwork and you can buy it. Now, what are you going to say to that? I would say no. Because you have no idea what condition it's in or if it even runs. This little illustration applies to our faith, and I'll show you how. Let's turn to James chapter 2. And I'll read verses 14 through 19. James 2, 14 through 19. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, by faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. In this passage, James is telling us that faith without works is dead. But what does that mean? Number one, this means that faith is not faith unless you act on it. There are many examples in the Bible of people acting on their faith, but I'm just going to show you one. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we read about Naaman and how he had leprosy. In his day, leprosy was untreatable, and not only did you have this disease eating away at your skin, but you were considered unclean and could not be around other people. And to add to all this, chapter 5, verse 1 says that Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Syria, so he was pretty important. After he found out he had leprosy, he went to the prophet Elisha to seek help to get rid of his leprosy. So Elisha told him to dip 7 times in the Jordan River so he would be cleansed, and he did, and he was healed. That's what faith is. He didn't just believe and was saved. He didn't believe and become healed. He had to act on his faith for it to heal him. This is what this passage in James is telling us. We have to act on our faith. Number two tonight is obedience proves our faith. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We can show God we have faith in him and love him by being obedient to him. Faith and works is the idea of being in a rowboat. And you have two paddles. One is faith and one is works. You can't paddle with just one and get anywhere. You have to use both. Number three tonight is that there are consequences if you aren't obedient. God gave us a law book, which is the Bible, so we can live by the standards in it. And if we don't, we won't get to be in heaven. Just intellectually accepting God or believing in him won't get us to heaven. We have to have obedience to go along with it. Now, I'm not trying to say it's bad to believe in God or anything like that. I'm just saying that that's not all you have to do. You have to act on your faith. Lastly, I want to let you know how to prove your faith. What we need to do is open up our Bibles and learn God's commands and be obedient to them. If you don't know where to start, a great place to start is Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Jesus gives us tons of instructions on how to live in those chapters, and it is just a small amount of the things we all need to work on in our lives. Today I want to challenge you to prove your faith to God, not just by belief, but by obedience. If you don't remember anything else from this lesson, I want you to remember to constantly be trying to prove your faith to God by obeying him. James 2:19 basically says that even the demons believe in God and they shudder. And we know for a fact that they are not going to be in heaven because they don't do what God says. Now, I have a question for you, and then I'm finished. Do you show your faith through your works? If you have any needs tonight, you can come forward as we stand and sing. Have I no questions with me?